Well, hello everybody, and again, I hope that you are all well. I am really, really, really looking forward to us being together soon. I'm working through 2 Corinthians, and we've got to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. And my title of this blog is We Appeal to You Not to Receive the Grace of God in Vain. Now, I have to be honest with you, when I read that, I really looked at it and thought, can I miss this one out? In fact, I chatted to somebody this week on the phone, and that was a little bit of their counsel, you know, just maybe you should miss it out. Well, I just thought, you know, sometimes you read scripture, do you not? And you think, my goodness, this one is hard to work out. So I decided not to do that. I decided to try and work it out and to examine scripture, and I thought I just need to work hard. So this is a little bit of a result of that. I don't know whether I've achieved it, but I decided not to ditch it, but to try. So here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 2. Working with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And that's where I had problems. Verse 2, for he says, in a favourable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favourable time, now is the day of salvation. You know, I don't know whether you're like me, but I forget sometimes that Paul is writing to real people in real situations. And I hope not you, but we can make the Bible academic and cold and forget the emotion and the situations that is really going on here. When Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, he said this, he said, and you have become imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word with much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. When I read that the other day, I had to stop and just let my imagination work for a while, just on those three statements. How they received the word. What did that sound like, look like, feel like? What about the much affliction that we're in? What did that sound like, look like, feel like? What about the joy of the Holy Spirit? What did that sound like, look like, feel like? And we can lose the connection, can't we? Just because we sort of get an academic view of things. And Paul also said later on in that in his letter to the Thessalonians, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work of you and in the believers. And just looking at that, you think, what an amazing situation that must have been in, to be in the middle of that as Paul is speaking and people are receiving the word of God. And Paul is in praise, not to him and what he's doing, but to what God is doing in the church in Thessalonica. But here in the church in Corinth, he sort of says something completely opposite. He says, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And at first look, I thought, oh my goodness, it's harsh, it's difficult. What does Paul mean, firstly, by the grace of God? And what does he mean then that the church is receiving it in vain? I think the first question is a little easier to answer. It may be that the grace of God is simply Paul's way of referring to the gospel and all its benefits. Because if you look through at the context, maybe ditching the chapters and the verses, but reading it through, you can see that what God has done in the church, where He specifically has in mind things like that God has given them a new attitude in chapter 5 and 16. They've become a new creation, chapter 5 and 17. That there is the ministry of reconciliation in 5, 18 and 19. There's the righteousness of God that's come to them in 5, 21. And all of that is wrapped up in this broad term word of salvation, which he uses in our chapter, chapter 6 and verse 2. If you like, everything that occurs around salvation is a work of God's grace. Everything that we have received is from God, and therefore everything that we have received is a work of grace. Now, the second question is, to be honest, far more tricky to answer. Because some believe that Paul is urging them not to forfeit the grace of salvation which they had received. In other words, it's an exhortation to persevere and not to turn their backs on the faith. While other commentators suggest that the exhortation that we have read in verse 1 and 2, excuse me, is not directed to those Corinthians who are already born again, but to those in Corinth who have repeatedly heard the gospel, but have not yet made any decision. Paul perhaps was not naive and to think that everyone in the church was necessarily truly saved. Therefore, his command not to receive the grace of God in vain is equivalent to an exhortation to all men not to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. But to be honest, is to receive in vain really the same as reject it? To be honest, I'm not sure. God's grace may be received in vain when it's received superficially, maybe. Is Paul talking about the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and Matthew 13, where the seed, the gospel seed, as it were, the truth, falls on rocky ground or thorns, or is snatched away or choked by the temptations of this world? According to that interpretation, people don't reject the gospel, but they do receive it, but believe it in a superficial way, and then their faith proves not to be real and maybe is temporary. There are loads of other views that I read and got confused about. Another view is that the receiving the grace of God in vain is not so much as salvation per se, but the loss of potential blessings related to the spiritual growth and knowledge and more. In other words, the people are truly saved, but they've received the gospel and they've believed it, but they fail to progress in their Christian growth, and they stand in danger of losing those spiritual blessings they otherwise might have obtained. There's a commentator called Philip Hughes, and he says this. It's a little bit complex, but here we go. He says, "For them to receive the grace of God in vain meant that their practice did not measure up to the profession as Christians, that their lives were so inconsistent as to constitute a denial of the logical implications of the gospel, namely, and in particular, that Christ died for them so that they might no longer live for themselves but to his glory." In other words, the passionate response that they made when they were saved has not yet performed a transforming work in their lives. It is to that progressive transformation of their daily experience that Paul is urging and exhorting them to change. The suggestions go on, and other people have suggested that to receive the grace of God in vain may be referring to their opposition of Paul himself. They're rejecting him. So in rejecting him, they reject his message, and in rejecting him, they therefore reject the grace of God. And to be honest, this is getting incredibly complex. And so how are we going to work this out? Well, I don't know either. So maybe go and get a cup of coffee. No. First, we need to understand what Paul means by receiving the grace of God in vain. The Greek word for vain is the word kinos. And Paul uses the word in other places in Galatians 2:2 and Philippians 2:16. And kinos is empty or without content or without purpose or result. Don't receive from God and it become empty or without content or purpose or result. So to receive God's grace in vain is not to reject it or even to neglect it, but to receive it, as it were, without profit, without the intended effect that it was meant to achieve. The grace is accepted, but it never attains to its goal. It sort of becomes nothing. And Paul is exhorting his Corinthian converts not to fail, as it were, from the profit of the grace of God. Or to put it in another way, to give God's grace a welcome in your heart, to capitalize on every opportunity that God has with all his resources at his fingertips that he desires to lavish upon us. But how did they specifically, or could they have let the grace of God in vain? Well, if the Corinthians squandered their God-given opportunities for bringing spiritual benefit to themselves and then others, then they have failed to exercise things like the ministry of reconciliation in chapter 5:18, or not to be Christ's ambassadors, 5:19, or they've allowed false apostles to rise, 11, 13 and 15, or even that they would embrace a different gospel, 11, 4, or fail to deal with paganism, 6, 14 to 18, or personal sin that rose up in 7, 1, or even spurn Paul's teaching of reconciliation in chapter 6 and 17. And by doing those things, you're guilty of having received the grace of God in vain. So Paul's appeal to the Christians is they might grab hold of God's gracious enabling so that the purpose or aim of their salvation might be attained. It is not just about your salvation. It is more that God has more for you to do between the point of you being saved and you going to heaven, as it were. The grace of God is designed to equip believers to proclaim Christ, to live for Christ, and for them to those benefits to spill out of their lives into the communities and the families and all that they are. God has purposes for our lives. To receive the grace of God in vain, therefore, is not to reject it altogether and live as an unbeliever, nor is it is to receive the grace of God and subsequently forfeit it or lose its saving power. Rather, Paul is talking about urgency and importance of the Corinthians responding to God's grace and seizing every opportunity, the God-given opportunity, to please the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:9. In how they speak, in how they act, and how they respond to the communities in which they live. God's grace comes to us not simply once in the gospel, but it is a constant and never-ceasing flow of merciful enablement, sanctifying power, like the Corinthians. We too must be diligent to drink from this well at all times. We need to take advantage of everything that is on offer to us from God that is endless and so full, so that we might attain to the goal for which God has bestowed it, and that we might receive all that God has for us. God has great plans for you and amazing resources for you to achieve everything that he has for you. God bless you.